We are blessed to have a large group of song leaders that lead us in worship. And I want to thank Rob and thank all those other men that select songs. I know they pray over that. I was really impressed. Rob grabbed us this morning as we were sitting here, Willie and I, and said, "Would you just pray with me about our time of worship?" And I appreciate that spirit because I believe that's the spirit God calls us to, that we might be a blessing and that we might be used for His purpose and glory. And this morning, we're going to be talking, I'm not going to cover all the range of scriptures on the life of Joseph, but the Word of God gives us amazing stories of the lives of people just like us who are living their life, and God has a plan for it. And in the life of Joseph, there's a lot of turmoil. Have you ever felt like everything was against you? That no matter what you did, something bad happened. And I think we've all had periods of time in our life like that where it just feels like we're up against the wall and it doesn't seem like things are going to be okay. You struggle with that sometimes. Maybe you're there right now and you're up against the wall and you're going, "I don't know how I'm going to get through this." Well, I believe that's one of the reasons we have stories like this. And sometimes we're even going against family. Sometimes it's our friends that seem to be against us. And we don't know what to do oftentimes. And so today I hope this message about the life of Joseph will help you to see how to endure those things and how God will be glorified when you do. Sometimes I feel that even though I do what I believe is right in God's sight, sometimes I feel like people resent me for that. And it's not that I have all the answers or even some of the answers. But sometimes we feel a call to do something for God, and immediately when we feel that call and we start to move in that direction, what does Satan want to do? He wants to stop you in your tracks. He wants to prevent you from doing what God has placed on your heart. God has given you a purpose in this life. And God gave Joseph a purpose. Sometimes we just wonder, how is all of this going to work out in the end? I'd like to take a look at a man who dealt with just these kind of things. And against all odds, in a strange land and amongst strangers, he overcame them. Because he ultimately knew and understood that his life was in God's hands. And he implicitly entrusted himself to God. I want you to be thinking about that. Do I do that? Is everything that I am and everything that I have, do I give it over to Him? Let's go to Genesis chapter 37. We're going to read a portion of this. And I sent out an email on Friday. Hopefully you got it. And I just really wanted you to read through the life of Joseph because we don't have time to talk about all the scripture. But I do want to read a portion of this just to kind of lay the groundwork. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. And this is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. We call it the coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, here we have the sibling rivalry beginning, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. I want you to think about your relationships, what's going on in your life. And God gives Joseph a gift. Joseph had a dream. And when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." Can you kind of feel the tension beginning to build when he tells this dream? His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. Man, this is adding insult upon insult to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" And his brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. They didn't realize what was going on. And I think that's the case with us sometimes. We don't really understand the whole picture. And someone comes and makes, these are grandiose statements. "I had these dreams." Or I have this idea. And we go, you know, kind of the way his brothers felt about Joseph. But I love it that it said that Jacob kept this in his mind. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." Imagine how Joseph felt after all of this. "Very well," he replied. So he was obedient. Regardless of how they felt, he went to go check on his brothers. I think there's a lesson for us right there as well. So he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" He's pursuing his brothers, even though they hate him. So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before they reached him, they plotted to kill him. These are his brothers. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." Love it that they make that statement, how God revisits that upon them. I know you know the story. And like I said, I'm not going to read through the whole thing. There's 9 chapters that cover the life of Joseph. But you know, Joseph was sold to the Ishmaelites. And then Joseph was taken into Potiphar's house as a servant to Potiphar. The scripture says in chapter 39, verse 2, says, "The Lord was with Joseph and he prospered." He's in a strange land. He knows no people. His family is not supportive of him, and yet he prospers. God's care falls on Joseph. Verse 39, 5 and 6. "From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph." Are you a blessing where you are? Because God is present in you? I want you to think about those kind of things when you look at the life of Joseph. Where you are, do you bless others because of God's presence in you? Potiphar received a blessing because Joseph was there, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he didn't even concern himself with anything except the food he ate. This is the kind of trust that, because of the way Joseph lived, Potiphar trusted him with everything. So Joseph lands on his feet. He's like a cat with 9 lives. Boom, he's on his feet again. Until Potiphar's wife makes advances to Joseph, because he was a handsome man, apparently. But what does he do? He does what God would want him to do. He runs from her, but unfortunately he's not fast enough, because she grabs his cloak. And upon Potiphar's return, uses that cloak to falsely accuse Joseph of making advances towards her. Satan lowers the boom on Joseph, or so we think. And he's thrown in prison. Have you ever done the right thing and it looks like everything's turning out wrong? been there. But verse 39, or chapter 39, verse 20 through 23, Joseph lands on his feet again. But while Joseph was there in prison, and this is in prison, remember, the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Regardless of where he was successful. And people saw something different in Joseph. Do they see it in you? When you're out there, you are called to be light in darkness. And regardless of what situation you find yourself in, God uses you. He even blesses others through you. But who is the only one standing by Joseph right now? God. Only one that's with him. Not friends, not family. He's in the midst of strangers. Yet Joseph continues to impact those around him because of the very life he lives in front of them. Are you living that kind of life, brothers and sisters? So that it impacts people. Regardless of the accusations against him, the accusations don't dictate to Joseph how he lives his life for God. Do we let our circumstances dictate to us how we live and how we respond to life? God gives us this beautiful story to help us understand that life is not all about us. But if we are willing and can get a glimpse of what God desires for us, He can use us in any and every situation. Are we living with this kind of mindset? Or does the world dictate to us how we feel about life? If I was Joseph, I might have given up by now. But he didn't. Let's continue. Joseph's interpretation of dreams comes in handy while he's in prison, and he interprets the dreams of the king's cupbearer and the king's baker, who both happen to be in prison with Joseph. The cupbearer, he receives a favorable interpretation, not so much for the baker. But the baker wanted in on the action because he had a dream too, and he wanted Joseph to interpret his dream. But the baker didn't get quite the interpretation that he was hoping for, and we know what happens to the baker. But both interpretations come true, and soon the cupbearer is once again serving the king his drink, and he quickly forgets what Joseph did. He was forgotten until Pharaoh had a dream 2 years later. Do you ever feel forgotten by those you've helped and encouraged? Do you sometimes labor and think, no one cares? No one even saw, no one even noticed. Can you imagine Joseph? He gives them answers and he's forgotten. Does it make you bitter and angry when that happens? Or do you accept the fact that God used you for His purpose and His glory, even though you may not receive any acknowledgement for it? Joseph lived this way. So Joseph, the slave, the prisoner, interprets Pharaoh's two dreams. God again shows Joseph he is with him, and he gives him the ability to interpret the dreams along with a plan to save Egypt as well as a few other folks out there. And this is what Pharaoh says to Joseph. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you." And again, Joseph lands on his feet. It's because of the way he lives. It's because of the way he entrusts himself to God. Sometimes I wonder, What was Joseph thinking through all of this? What were his emotions? How did he feel? Did he feel betrayed? What was his... But his actions show where his heart was. And so he lives this life. If you don't know the rest of the story, there's a lot more of the story. I encourage you to read it. Time doesn't really allow me to do that. But here's the thing. Joseph ends up saving his family, even though he was essentially betrayed by them. And as a result, the whole nation of Israel is saved as well, because one man dared to stand against all odds, but he stood with God. I hope I gave you enough of the story to help you see that regardless of what circumstances you face in life, whether good or bad, that if you walk with God, He will be with you. And ultimately, that's all that matters. That we walk with Him. That we walk as Jesus walked. I want to have the attitude of Joseph in the face of adversity. When it seems I'm going against the odds, that's the kind of attitude I want to have. In Genesis 45, 3 through 11, when Joseph was, after some playing with his brothers back and forth, going back and forth home and all the things that go on in the story, like I said, I encourage you to read it. Joseph reveals himself. And I want you to look at what Joseph says. He said to his brothers, "I am Joseph." First question he asked, "Is my father still living?" He loved his dad. He loved his family. Didn't matter if they hated him. He loved them in spite of them. Because he belonged to God and his heart belonged to God. But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Sometimes I ask myself, am I like one of those brothers? Is that the way I live my life, like one of them? God tries to wake me up, and this was a wake-up call for them. He used the life of Joseph to be a wake-up call to what God had in store for them. Joseph said to his brothers, I love it, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here. He's trying to take their guilt away. Man, is this agape love? Is this the kind of love God wants us to have for one another? Forgiveness? It's what God wants. He says, don't be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. You see how he's looking at his trial? He's saying, God sent me. This was all his plan and all his purpose. For 2 years now, there have been famine in the land. For the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Who's getting the glory for this? God is getting the glory. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, this is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me. Don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me. You, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds, and all you have, I will provide for you there. Because 5 years of famine is still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute. What kind of words do we use to, with others when we face adversity? Are they words of hope? Or are they words of despair? Are they woe with me, nobody likes me, everybody hates me? Something we used to chant as kids? Or do we say, God is in control, and I am at peace even though the storm rage about me? Or do we ask, I wonder how His glory will be revealed in all of this? Do you trust Him against all odds? Are you at peace in your spirit? When the world sees that peace in us, God's divine presence is revealed, just as it was in the life of Joseph. We honor God when we trust Him. There were no complaints from Joseph. At least we don't see any logged in the Scripture, even though he had much to complain about. What is it that we are complaining about? What if God is working His purpose in you like He was with Joseph in your situation, in your trial, in your struggle? Do you have Joseph's perspective on life and God's purpose for you? Joseph was only one man who, by his life and trust in God, he saved a nation. And I think about the difference you make in this world with the light of His glory inside of you, in your workplace, in your school, wherever you are. Are you living in such a way that even without words, you show the glory of God in the way you choose and the decisions that you make? Joseph was just one man. He saved a nation. Do you realize your life makes a difference? If God can use this one man for His purpose and glory, can't He use you too? No matter the obstacles you feel you might face, I'm going to tell you right now, you are an integral part of God's plan. You are an important part of God's plan. Otherwise, you never would have been called to glory, to live for Christ. You have a story of faith that can impact others like Joseph. And sometimes all it takes is just living it in front of other people. That's what Joseph did. He lived by faith. Are we? Is that the way you're living your life out there? Do you bless others by your presence? Some of you may say, well, I'm old and I don't make a difference anymore. Let me tell you what, you make a difference. You're here this morning, that encourages people. That makes a difference. You parents that raise your children in God's sight, you make a difference. Who knows what that child will do? We don't know the future. Joseph didn't either. He saw the dreams, but he waited on the Lord. And God led him. Joseph's purpose was to save others. And that's the purpose God has given us, by our life, to show Christ so that others might be saved, because He is the one who saves. Joseph reminds me of my Savior, who left glory and came here. Even though we're His children, we didn't treat Him like a father. He was scorned and beaten and reviled. But on that cross, He would look around and say, "Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing." I believe Joseph had that attitude. That's the attitude we've got to have when we deal with people, because sometimes they don't know what they're doing. Joseph, trust in God, saved a nation. Jesus, trust in God, saved us all. And God has a plan for you. Whether it's a life of plenty or of want, pain or joy, I don't know. One thing I do know is that when we entrust ourselves to our Creator, we win. We win. Are you living that way, brothers and sisters? That's the challenge before you today. Are you light in darkness? Are you glory in place where there's no hope? That is what God calls you to be. And Joseph was just one man. And I wonder, as he was living his life, if he was thinking like this, what is all this about? What is all this for? Why am I going through this? I wonder if he had those thoughts. We don't see it recorded, but we see evidence of where his heart was. And his heart was for God. If you're struggling with this life this morning, if you're struggling and finding, okay, I don't understand all this, Maybe you just need some brothers and sisters to put your arms around you and say, let's pray, and maybe you'll see what direction God has for your life. Maybe you haven't even become a child of God yet, and there's opportunity to do that. We have shepherds that are they're not just in the front, but they're in the back too, because sometimes these matters are private, and they're waiting for you to come, and they'll pray with you, pray over you, and pray God's blessing upon you. But it's time for us as a church to be different out there, to be people like Joseph, to live gloriously for God in front of others. And even without words, as 1 Peter says about worthy wives, that you can win others over by just your behavior. It's time, church, that we make that difference. But if you have a need, let me tell you what, God is the one that will fill that need, and we, your brothers and sisters, will surround you and pray with you so that you might have that hope in you. If you have a need, please come as we stand.